We present the final episode of The Left-Handed Sleeper by Ted Willis, based on his novel of the same name, with Annette Crosby and Richard Pascoe. Episode 5, Domino, is introduced by the author.
It was all coming together now, all the strands of this extraordinary story. As the KGB began to close in, Christine Ritchie came face to face at last with her husband, Mark. And in another room, Cadwell and Hume, from British Security, listened to and recorded every word of the confrontation.
Mark? Mark?
Oh, God. Chris? Chris. Oh, God, Chris.
Mark.
Chris.
Oh, darling.
Oh. Yeah, that's that. Normal service will be resumed as soon as possible. A glass of vino?
No.
And shut up. The lady's getting to you again.
But will you shut up and listen?
Chris, I never thought how did you get here?
I'm here. That's the main thing. How are you?
How do you think?
Honey, now I'm here, the words won't come.
I know. How are things back home?
Oh, fine. Spring seems to have come at last.
About time.
Mrs. Coburn rang about her drains.
Oh, she rings about those drains every spring, regular as the first cuckoo.
The usual crop of invitations came in. A thrash at the Korean embassy, an Israeli reception, you know. Mark, we have to talk.
But we were talking.
Yes, but we're not saying anything, are we?
Right. How about this for a start? What are you doing here with them? Do you realize who they are, what they want?
Oh, would you rather they were the other lot, the KGB?
Didn't take them long to win you over, did it?
Mark, please, it didn't like that.
No? Some sort of trap, isn't it? They brought you here to trap me.
The bastard, you'd think she was the one.
Please. Wait. I came of my own free will to see you, hoping you could explain. I need to know, to understand.
Understand? You've no idea, no conception. It's been one long nightmare. Living hell. I tried to get out, make a clean break, but the Russians don't work that way. Once they have you, you're theirs for life. They're looking for me now, and if they catch up with me, they'll kill me. Or worse.
Oh, God. Then it's true. And I've denied it, even to myself. I couldn't bring myself to believe. I defended you. Argued with them.
Them? Them? You mean your friends out there?
They're not my friends. Oh, Mark. I'm your wife. We've been together for 8 years. 8 years. And you were living this other life all that time. And what's so horrible is that I never even suspected. Not for one single solitary second. I've asked myself 1,000 times, how could it happen? How could it possibly happen?
Christmas.
I trusted you. I trusted you absolutely because I loved you. No other reason. And you used that. You relied on it as a cover. You used me. You used our marriage.
Whatever else, I loved you. It was always true, Chris. I loved you. I still do. To me, you were... You are the only link with reality. Without you, I would have had nothing. No hope, no sanity. Believe me. On this one thing, believe me, Chris.
Listen to him. We need now the violins to play Hearts and Flowers.
Shh, shh. If I can work my way out of this, and there is a chance, will you come with me? But we'll take a new name, start over. Chris, I thought of nothing else.
I want to wipe the slate clean, build a new life. But I've nothing, no money, no right even to ask you. But you're my one hope.
I can't stand any more of this.
Nice.
Get that other woman, David.
Oh, Mrs. Graham, you can't get
I
her.
I can. It's time that bastard was nailed. Get her, David.
Right.
I would want it to be like it was. And it could never be that. In a way, you are two people in one. You have become two people. There's the Mark I knew, the Mark I married, and the other one. The man who was there all the time, though I didn't know it.
Oh. The other man is dead, Chris. He's part of the past now. He won't come back.
No. No, that's too easy. Too glib. How do I know you're not using me again?
No, I need you, Chris. I've no one else.
Bastard.
Here she is. The delectable Mrs. Graham. Beautiful as ever. Apart from a bit of straw, a slight smell of the stable.
That shed is filthy. It's disgusting.
Then it shouldn't bother you too much. Come on. There's someone here who is dying to meet you. This way. Through the door, down the steps.
Is this some kind of trap?
Well, let's call it a surprise.
Mark, darling.
Shirley.
And your little wife is here. How cozy. How are you, Mrs. Ritchie?
Mr. Cadwell?
Yes?
I'd like to leave. Would you please get someone to take me back to the hotel?
Chris, please, I can explain. Now, let me explain.
I think you've explained just about everything. There's nothing more to be said. Goodbye, Mark.
Chris, please!
This man will take you to your hotel, Mrs. Ritchie. As soon as I can, I'll arrange for you to get to Gibraltar and to fly home from there.
Thank you.
Mrs. Ritchie's in your charge, Sweeney. Stay with her, you understand?
Will do, sir.
Two passports, two first-class air tickets to Rio and £50,000. There are our terms, Mr. Cadwell.
Is that all?
Cheap at half the price.
No, you're not going anywhere for the moment. Lock them up, David.
Together?
Why not? It'll give Mr. Ritchie a chance to explain. Just before you came in, Mrs. Graham, he was begging his wife to go away with him. No mention of you, not a word. Would you believe?
I believe you're trying to stir the soup, darling.
You can hear the tape if you like. We've got it all on record. Very moving. All about how much he loved her and how she was the only woman in his life.
Fascinating. It seems you can't trust anyone these days.
Yes?
Snatched Mrs. Ritchie.
What?
Three, four men slugged me from behind.
Oh, wait. Pat, they got Ritchie's wife. Give me that. Sweeney, how the hell did this happen?
We just got back to the hotel. I opened the door for the roommate. They rushed me. I'm sorry, I didn't...
Are you still at the hotel?
Yes.
Stay there. I'm on my way.
Don't be alarmed, Mrs. Ritchie. I have not come to hurt you.
Who are you?
I suppose you could say I'm a sort of soldier policeman.
You're a Russian?
And you are English. And we meet here in Tangier. The world is a strange place, isn't that so?
So I'm beginning to realize.
Do you follow a profession?
No. Well, I suppose you could call me a housewife.
Ah, my wife also.
You have a wife? Why don't you go home to her?
No, believe me, I would like nothing better, my dear, but I have a job to do.
Of course. You corrupt people and kill people. You lie and cheat and spy and murder. Little things like that. What does your wife think of this job of yours?
We never discuss it.
My husband never discussed his work with me either. At least, not the work he did for you.
Yes, that interests me. Tell me, if he had told you everything, what would you have done?
I don't know.
Would you have gone to the authorities and informed against him?
I don't know. That's a terrible question. I don't know.
No, you would not have informed. You see, my dear, people are like nations. We all have double standards.
I have a question for you.
Oh, about your husband. What can I tell you that you don't already know?
You can tell me why you didn't leave him alone.
Oh, my dear Mrs. Ritchie, we are fighting a war. Some people call it the Cold War, but it is a war, nevertheless. And your husband got caught up in the war. It's as simple as that. We recruited him 22 years ago when he was at university. He was then an ardent revolutionary.
You catch them young, don't you?
It's necessary. It was his future, his potential that interested us. So to use the technical term, he was put to sleep.
You talk as though you were a commodity.
Well, in a sense, that is what he is, what he became. But, yes, unlike some commodities, he began to change. He fell in love with you and with his career. He became what he was pretending to be, a bourgeois reactionary. And so he decided that he would like to break with us.
Was that so terrible? Couldn't you have let him go?
We had invested a good deal in him. And he knows too much. No, my dear, he is ours. He remains ours.
Comrade Colonel, we have our friend on the line now.
Ah, coming. Goodbye for the present, Mrs. Ritchie. Oh, I beg you, do not give up hope. You see, we have offered to exchange you for your husband. If they agree, you will be safely back home in a very short time. Just keep hoping.
Colonel Badaev, they told me you were in Tangier. How are you enjoying your stay?
It is not my favorite city, Mr. Cadwell. The sooner I can leave, the better.
I understand you have a proposal for me.
I'm sure you'll have guessed what it is. A simple exchange.
Mrs. Ritchie for Mr. Ritchie?
Correction, please. For Mr. Ritchie and the other woman. We want them both.
Suppose we refuse.
You will not. About 5 kilometers from the old city, there is the old Phoenician tomb. Your people will know it. We shall be there at the entrance in 1 hour.
We'll give you one. The Graham woman, but not Ritchie.
All or nothing.
No deal.
We shall be at the tomb as arranged. We will wait 30 minutes, no longer.
Now hold it.
He wants an exchange.
Right.
No, Pat. It's not on, and you know it. Use your head. Now, what do we get out of it?
We get Christine Ritchie.
A lovely lady, but from our point of view, absolutely useless. Well, she can't tell us a thing about the domino network, whereas in there we have the only 2 people who can. Now, if we hand them over now, we lose everything.
You know what you're saying, don't you?
I know exactly what I'm saying.
They'll kill her?
Yes.
Look, there is one chance. We have to be at the old Phoenician tomb in 1 hour. They'll wait 30 minutes, and that gives us an hour and a half.
Well, it'll take the best part of an hour to collect Ritchie and the woman and get out of the tomb.
Well, that still gives us 30 minutes. Give me 15 of those. Ritchie could tell us a hell of a lot in that time.
You're clutching at moonbeams, old son.
It's worth trying.
Oh, all right. I'll have a go at the woman at the same time. I doubt if she'll sing, but I'll try.
Thanks.
No funny business, Pat. If Ritchie and a woman won't talk, then there's no deal. No exchange. We wrap them up and take them home to the UK. See, I know how you feel about Christine Ritchie. I've seen the way you look at her. But business before sentiment. You try any tricks and I'll waste you.
Is that a promise?
No. It's a signed contract.
This way, Shirley. Sweetheart.
Not you, Ritchie. You stay here with me.
What's going on?
Out, lady. Out.
Mark, don't talk. Say nothing. Remember, they'll try and trap you.
Right, sit down there. Oh, you bloody bitch. Use your teeth again. You'll get more of that.
Oh, I love the strong, ruthless type.
Tell me, where did Ritchie find you?
In the yellow pages, darling.
You mind if I tell you something?
You fancy me.
No. That's what I was going to tell you. I don't.
They could be bluffing.
No. They've got her, all right.
What will you do?
Listen. If it were up to me, I'd hand you over without a second's hesitation. But there are others, my colleagues out there, for example, who take a different line. You can see their point. They want to roll up the Soviet network in Britain, and that is only possible if you talk. They believe that we should hang on to you until you tell us all you know.
God,
you owe your wife, Ritchie. You owe her. And this is your chance to pay. Talk. We've got about 10 minutes left. Talk fast. Give me the names of everyone in the domino network. Every detail about them that you can think of. Give me enough to break it, for good and all.
And then you'll hand us over?
Yes.
They'd know I'd talked. As soon as you started moving against the Domino Club, they'd know. You're asking me to put myself in their hands.
Your wife is in their hands at this minute, and they'll kill her without hesitation.
Right. It's a trap.
It is not a trap. Now get that into your skull. This is for real. There is no trap. Now come on, come on. Damn you, David. Get out. Get out. You said 15 minutes. I've had 5.
God be helped, old son. So very suspicious people have started poking around. We've got to move out fast. Get into a safer house.
David, get away from that door.
Pat, now don't be a bloody fool. Put that gun away. What are you doing?
Your gun, David. Now, slowly. Slowly. Drop it on the floor. Kick it over this way.
No, you're going to make the swap.
What do you think? For the gun. Please.
And all for the love of a lady. They'll chop you for this, Pat.
No problem. I resign as of 5 minutes ago. Now, over by the wall. I'll come back and let you out as soon as this is over. And I'll see that you don't get the blame. Move. Pat? Yes?
The best of British. The old sunshine.
Mr. Cadwell, a pleasure to meet you.
Shall we cut the guff? Have you got Mrs. Ritchie?
In the car. Yeah, you can see her quite clearly. And your contribution?
In the back of the van.
Both of them?
Yes.
May I check?
There's a window in the back door.
Yes, all seems to be in order. Now, may I suggest that we avoid melodrama? The simplest thing would be if you were to take the car with Mrs. Ritchie and we took the van with Mr. Ritchie and the woman. We will leave your van in the central car park in Tangier tomorrow morning. I suggest you do the same with our car. Agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you. Oh, I must tell you, I did not expect you to come. I confess that I am surprised.
Don't worry. I'm more than a little surprised myself. Mrs. Ritchie. Here, let me untie your hands. I'll have you out of here in no time. Oh. There.
What's going on? How did you... Did you give them Mark?
Yes.
And Mrs. Graham?
Both. There was no other way. I had no choice.
It wasn't your decision to take. It was mine. You sold him like a thing. You sold him.
No. He sold himself a long time ago.
To all intents and purposes, that was the end of the story. But there was one loose end, something that worried both Cadwell and Christine Ritchie. Cadwell approached it in his own way.
Jim, if I don't resign, they'll fire me. But there's just one last thing I'd like to clear up before I quit. One man will do me. The one who recruited Ritchie and all the others. The one who set it all up.
We've checked and double-checked all Richie's known friends. They're clean.
And we've missed the one we're looking for. One word keeps popping up in my mind, Jimmy. Can't get rid of it.
And that is?
Cambridge. 2 points. First, we know, or we're pretty certain, that the Russians recruited Richie when he was at Cambridge, right?
Right.
Second, my cottage is only a few miles from Cambridge. When his wife gave us the slip, it would have been dead easy for her to get a lift into the town. She knew her husband had friends there. Perhaps a particular friend. Someone who might help her to get to Tangier.
Wait. I've got the file here. The only friend of Ritchie who still lives anywhere near Cambridge is a man named Gerald Kelp. He was Ritchie's tutor. Retired 12 years ago. Lives in the old rectory at Stanbourne, mm-hmm. with his secretary, a man named Ronald Mills.
Is there a security report on him?
No, four reports. He was checked up, down and sideways, clean as a whistle, pure as a dove.
When was he last checked out?
When the Anthony Blunt business came to the surface. Mm. Hey, who are you calling?
Christine Ritchie. I thought you might fancy a run out in the country.
To Stanbourne?
Why not? Hello? Could I speak with Mrs. Ritchie, please?
I'm afraid she's not here. This is her sister, Mrs. Dunning, speaking. May I take a message?
Have you any idea when she'll be back?
Well, she's driven up to Cambridge to see an old friend. She won't be back much before this evening.
Cambridge? You mean the university?
No. Actually, she's going to Stanbourne, just this side of the... Look, is that the police? If it is, I wish you would leave...
Thank you, Mrs. Dunning.
Mrs. Ritchie. Oh, how good of you to come so quickly. How kind. Do come in, please.
Is Mr. Kelf at home?
You don't know. I thought that's why you'd come. I thought someone must have telephoned you. Gerald is dead, Mrs. Ritchie. He passed peacefully away in the night.
Oh, I had no idea. I'm so sorry.
27 years we were together. 27 wonderful years. You can understand how I feel.
Of course.
Great mind. Serve him was a privilege. A privilege and an honor. 27 years. Then, suddenly, a great heart cracked. Had warnings, of course, but he ignored them. May I get you a glass of Madeira?
No, thank you.
You won't mind if I...
Oh, of course not.
Gerald loved his morning glass of Madeira. Left me the house, you know. Typical. I should try to keep it as he would want. Well, lovely to see you. Were all the arrangements satisfactory?
Oh, yes, I'm very grateful.
It wasn't easy to arrange at such short notice. You told nobody, I trust?
No.
Capital. Wanted help. He gave it gladly. One can't help one's friends. Gerald never turned anyone away. Never. Why did you come today? Was there anything specific?
Specific?
When you came to see Gerald, you must have had a purpose in doing so.
Why did you have me followed to Tangier?
Followed? What do you say?
It must have been you. No one else knew. You put a man on to follow me, a Russian agent. You hoped I would lead him to Mark, didn't you?
Oh, Mrs. Ritchie, you're distressed. Oh, it's so easy to understand.
Mr. Kelp was Mark's tutor. He started all this. All those years ago, he started it. He recruited Mark and the others.
This really is shameful. Shameful. I'm almost thankful that Gerald...
I saw Mark in Tangier. I was alone with him. How do you know that he didn't tell me everything?
Wait here.
I'm going.
You will wait here.
Grab him, Jimmy.
What is the meaning of this? I protest. I protest in the...
Shut up! Are you all right, Mrs. Ritchie?
That's the second time you've asked me that in a week. Yes, I'm fine, but I think you arrived just in time.
Look, in Tangier, I asked you a question. You wouldn't answer it then. I wondered if you might have changed your mind.
Yes, I have. It was this gentleman and his late friend who arranged my passage to Tangier.
Late friend?
Gerald Kelp died last night.
He is lying upstairs at this very moment while you desecrate his memory.
Look, Mr. Mills, don't push me. I'm in a bad mood. I'm tired, irritable, and impatient. So don't run away with the idea that you're dealing with an English gentleman. I'm a bastard. A mean bastard. So talk. Talk fast. Or I'll break you, Mr. Mills. I'll break you like this decanter.
And that really was that. Except for one last twist. A few days later, I was sitting in the garden of Christine Rich's house in Bickley. Pat Cadwell was there. And he brought us up to date.
Oh, Mills talked all right. They had a lovely setup. We found their radio transmitter in a vault in the old churchyard.
and enough evidence to put Mills down for 30 years.
And the others, the Domino Club?
Oh, some lovely names. A top civil servant, a physicist, a couple of big businessmen. Whether they like it or not, the establishment is in for a nasty shock.
So, now you move on to the next job.
Not exactly. I've resigned.
Why?
For many reasons. Look, I was wondering, would you and Lord Willis care to come up to the Bull's Head for a bite of lunch?
Fine by me.
I must get back, I'm afraid. I've got to get started on another story.
Mr. Carroll.
Pat. I've resigned. Remember?
Pat. We don't need to go out. Stay here. I'll make some lunch.
I left them to it. After all, I wasn't the only one who was starting a new story. Bye.
That was the final episode of The Left-Handed Sleeper by Ted Willis. Christine Ritchie was played by Annette Crosby, Patrick Cadwall by Richard Pascoe, and Lord Willis by himself. Mark Ritchie, Christopher Schooler, David Hume, Eric Lander, Shirley Graham, Francis Jeter, Adayev, Andrew Sachs, Detective Chief Superintendent Dell, David Dacre, Mrs. Dunning, Teresa Collard, Ronald Mills, Nigel Graham, Sweeney, Alex Jennings, and Svinitsa, Barry Denham. The Left-Handed Sleeper was directed by Christopher Venning.